Hey, this is Britt down in Hodges, and we just want to let you know that we are your Pink Out headquarters right here in Marion. We've got pink socks, mouth guards, under eye stickers, you name it, and we are ready. And don't forget, you can show your rocket pride in a new spirit jersey with either black or white with a great big blue rocket on the back. Archery season is in full swing, and we've got everything you need to bag the big buck.
Friday night is Pink Out and Homecoming. Coach Darns, we've got Fulton City to come into town. It's our first district matchup of the season and all sorts of extracurriculars to go along with it.
Yeah, and Chris, I tell you, that's what concerns a coach is all the distractions and festivities. But, you have to do those things because the kids enjoy them. And so we have parade, we have powder puff, we have homecoming court before the game, and we've had something all week, and which is good. I mean, it's good for the spirit of the school, but it's a concern for the coach just trying to keep things organized and keep the kids focused on what needs to happen. And we have to understand is Fulton City is a team that they beat Fulton County, and that's the only win that they have. But they have some athletes that concern me a lot, and if we take them lightly and we don't come in and get better from what we did last week, then I think it could be a long night. But clearly I think that we have a chance to beat them, and I think we should beat them. But, we're going to have to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do.
I guess if you have to have all these distractions, that's why you pick a team for homecoming generally that you think have a very good chance to beat. They're 1-5 on the season. It's a team. You're 16-2 against them yourself since you've been here. We've dominated this team over the past couple of decades as well as we have anybody. But still, like you say, they're an athletic team. I'm not sure what happened on those two losses.
Well, I know one. We should be 17-1 because we should have just got a first down and ran the clock out. So I remember that one.
They had the number 5, didn't they? The quarterback.
He was pretty good. But it is, and you're right, Chris. I mean, you try to pick teams that you think you can win because there are a lot of distractions, and that's why it frustrates me and bothers me when we're selected for homecoming because we haven't shown the respect or gotten the respect that we think we should deserve and have people not choose us for homecoming. But it is what it is, and you have to play somebody. So, we selected them, because of the way the games are working out and the timing and stuff like that, we had to have it for homecoming as well as Pink Out because we really want to make sure that that we honor and recognize a disease that has affected a lot of families. We want to do that every year.
And I'll remind you that to get your Pink Out accessories, Hodges Sports and Apparel in Marion, they're a sponsor for the podcast and the website this week. And, when you need your armbands, whatever it is, mouthpiece, they've got it all. A lot of pink stuff. I'll talk a little bit about some of the players, Coach. We're a little over halfway through the season. Regular season, and we've got some cumulative statistics here I want to take a look at and kind of get your perspective on, reflect on the fact that Dylan Smith, this is a first-year starter for you, and he leads the team in tackles with 67.
Yeah, and Dylan was the defensive player of the week this past week too, and he's one. Remember that we talked about earlier in the season, before the games even started, and whether or not that he was a question mark on whether he could handle the position, and because he hadn't started there before, and we were talking about playing people and not playing them both ways, and he proved to be an asset to us right now, and is improving, is getting better, and as we said before, he's one that really, really enjoys what he does and concerned about it. And so, if he doesn't do what he thinks that we want him to do, then he wants to know what he can do to improve and get better, and he really cares about that. So, and I'm glad to see that he is having success because, I mean, he's worked hard for it, and he's deserved it every week, and he wants that position, and therefore he's staying there.
Looking down the tackle totals, kind of highlight some other guys. Travis McKinney, you knew he was going to be a solid guy on the line. He's got 53. He's number 2 on the team with 53 tackles. Gavin Dickerson, freshman, who's played periodically, a lot of times toward the end of some of the games, but he's third on the team with 44 tackles. And Travis Fitzgerald, another one of your mainstays there at defensive ends, 43 tackles.
Yeah, and you know, Travis McKinney at second, leading tackler there, we know his motor never quits. I mean, he's just all over the field, and he's a pleasure to have out there. And you know, he's not very vocal, but his actions on the field, he's a leader on the field, and he just plays with such a passion, and I think you know, he's a leader by example, and we got to have that too. And you know, same thing with Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald's becoming more of a vocal leader, and you know, kids look up to him as well, and he plays hard all the time. So you know, we're glad to have those guys. We're gonna miss them. They're seniors. We're gonna miss them. And Gavin Dickerson is a freshman, and he's a solid player, and he's gonna be a force. And you know, he's going to be a great player, and he's just young right now, and he has to understand that that he's got to work on his technique and improve his feet work, and improve a little bit of speed, and he could probably be your all-time leading tackler.
Yeah, I don't doubt that's true as we move forward. Of course, on offense, we know Nick Castillo has been the centerpiece of this offense. He's thrown for 933 yards, 72 of 129 passing, which is pretty doggone good, especially for a team that's not a traditional passer, that we're new at this somewhat. Passing touchdowns, he's had six, but he's had seven interceptions. That's not a real good ratio that you want, touchdowns to interceptions, but nonetheless, he's been very, very effective this year and drawn a great deal of accolades throughout the region and the state. Rushing, he leads the team with 489 yards. Second is Dylan Hollis at 237, then Mason Myers at 173. And, of course, Nick has nine touchdowns, and Mason Myers and Dylan Hollis each have four. So those guys are the center of the offense.
Yeah, and the good thing is that you do have a quarterback that can run and throw it, very effective when he does both. You know, Nick, as we said before, has really worked hard to be more efficient passer, and you know, he you know, if he would throw the routes that are the high percentage routes sometimes, then he would have a whole lot higher percentage. Sometimes he tries to throw things that force it in there, and that's why he has some interception ratio that's high. But you know, that's what we're working on right now. We got to continue to work on that and understand we've got to take what the defense gives us and don't try to force routes. And if he has that, I mean, he would probably have almost 200 or 300 yards more. But I'm telling you, he is one that understands it. He knows it. He's a competitor. He's worked his tail off, and you know, hopefully he can continue to have success.
Is that because you think he's looking for his go-to guys? You know, Dylan Hollis leads the team in passing reception yards, 288. Excuse me, and Alex Cosby has 273. So those are your top two guys. Is he looking for them? You think maybe missing an open guy from time?
You know, I don't necessarily think that he's just looking for those individuals. I think he's looking for routes, and so when you call a play and you have a certain route to run, then I think that is your initial route that's saying, okay, we're calling this because this should be open, but if it's not there, you got to dump it to this or go to your second read. And I think that's what he has to do. He has to go to a second read and third read, and then because he can do that. You know, but also, I mean, we got to do a better job up front protecting, because we didn't have much time last week, and I think that you rush your quarterback when you do that, and we have to make sure that we provide time for him to go through his progression.
Alex Cosby, as we mentioned, is number two on the team in receiving yards, and he has 29 receptions in his career. That puts him in a pretty unique group. He's only the 18th player in school history to have 30 or more receptions in their career, and that's pretty good accomplishment, a milestone for Alex, and he's a guy that's really just, I think, come on the last few games and he's upped his game a notch or two, I think. I feel,
you know,
like.
And I think so, too. I think his confidence, I think he's finally developed some confidence in himself that he can catch a football. I think there was doubt when the ball was thrown his way and whether or not he could catch it in his own mind. And once you develop that confidence, then you become a better player. And I think we have to do that all the way across the board. And when we do that, I mean, we, you know, I watch our pregame, and we've got kids that can catch all the way from top to bottom, young kids, and we got them that can catch, and we have to understand that. And I think this offense, it'll provide more than that, and you'll see that. I think that that we'll have kids that will break passing records because as many times we throw the football.
You know, we have these passing records are falling like flies the last few weeks. Tyler Coleman had 7 receptions last week, and that's the 7th most receptions in a single game in the history of the school. And then Ethan Hunt has caught a pass in 7 straight games, and Dylan Hollis has caught a pass in 8 straight games. And those are the longest streaks since Bobby Knox, I think, had 12 back in 2011. TK Guest, he was their most prolific pass catcher in the history of Rocket football, 22 straight games that he caught a pass. So
yeah,
right up there.
Yeah, and you know, it's because we are throwing the ball. And just remember, too, now that – you know, when I first came to Crittenden County, if we threw the ball 5 times, I was upset.
You were way behind.
I was way behind, way behind. And so, you know, that's just the way that the game has evolved, and you can see it on TV. You can see it is getting that way in the pros where they're getting more quarterbacks that run the spread offense and where they're running the ball more and they're doing more of your zone reads and screens and stuff like that. The game is changing, and so we have to make sure that we change with it.
And I think the fans want this too. They see it on Saturday on television. They see it on Sunday on television. And hey, they want it on Friday night.
Oh, it's exciting. Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. And you know, the offense is exciting when you're throwing the ball around different places and you know, you're doing things different. You know, it's not just the same old thing all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, I'm the type of guy that if I can run power and it's working, I want to run it 15 times in a row. I don't care as long as it's working. But, you know, it does come down to defense, though, and we've got to make sure that that we play. And when you're an offensive team like this, and when you're in this type of system, you have a tendency to spend a little more time on offense than defense. And we have to understand that defense is going to win us championships, and we have to be able to stop people.
Well, defense wins championships. Offense puts people in the stands.
Yeah, and you got to have both of them.
You know, you scored 27 touchdowns this year, and that's what people like to see. It's like runs in a baseball game. People like to see that, the climax. And 27 last year, all of last year, you had 26. So
yeah, and we still have more to come. And, yeah. And I think the only one that doesn't like it is Ronnie Myers because he has to supply those.
He's running out of fireworks.
So you know, hopefully we can get some more this week. And you know, it's good for the kids, and you know, we have to thank Andy Hunt for coming up with these stats, because I'm gonna tell you, the kids really enjoy seeing their name like that every week and what they've accomplished. So you know, we appreciate him taking the time and the effort to do that.
And it's a lot of time.
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of time. I mean, when you got you know, one of the kids that ran the second most routes in the first quarter, first 2 minutes of a game since 19. I mean, it's unreal.
Only a numbers guy like Andy can do that. Let's talk a little bit about the district before we get off here today. And we've got, of course, Fulton City is our first district opponent. They come in 1-5. The only win they've got is against Fulton County, and they are winless on the season. We'll see them in a few weeks. But Russellville, finally, we see a chink in the Russellville armor. Murray just beat the fire out of it. Well, beat them 31-7, which is pretty good beatdown. And so we do see that Russellville is beat. Of course, Murray's a pretty good football program, too. But that was their first loss.
Yeah, and we have to understand this, too. And Coach Wheeler said it best Monday. In film, and I think the kids that were, you know, got a joke, a kick out of him because they thought he was joking. But you know, right now, Fulton City is leading the district. They're 1-0, and so we have to make sure we understand that you know, they can use that as motivation, and we can't take them lightly. And you know, we watched the film, and we know we should beat this team. But I'm gonna tell you, if we take them lightly, we don't do what we have to. It's gonna be a battle, and we don't want to give them that chance. You want to make sure that a team like this, you want to take them out early, and you want to break all the spirits and all the will and all the desire to finish that game. And you have to do that by getting up on them early. And if you don't do that, and you allow them to hang in there, then it could be a long, long game for us. And then you never know what happens. And we don't want to be the team that gets beat against Fulton City, and then be 2-0 in the district.
And of course, Fulton County goes to Russellville Friday night as well. So you've got the two top teams and the considered the two bottom teams of the district going at it this week. And we'll see how it comes out Friday night. I expect Crittenden and Russellville will come out of this and will still be the top two teams in the district. And we're so glad to be back in 1A. So we're so glad we look forward to these district games and really get pumped up for it. Homecoming, pink out, a lot of things going on this week. I hope everybody stays focused and we go get this game won to beat the Dogs.
Yeah, we do too, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
All right, we'll see you.